Welcome to Real Christianity, a weekly show designed to help Christians know their Bible, defend their faith, and truly understand what it means to follow Jesus. The premise is simple. The culture is getting louder. The church is getting flashier, but few pastors are teaching on how to live a biblical life. My name is Dale Partridge, along with my incredible wife, Veronica. Join us as we start an important conversation about what it really means to be a Christian. Welcome to Real Christianity. Today we are talking about...
Is sex before marriage sinful or acceptable?
Huge topic. Excited to have the discussion today. Before we jump into that discussion, a couple things. If you want to listen to our podcast or the other past episodes or hear this episode from the web, you can always do that at relearnchurch.org/listen. And you can find all the show notes for this episode and all past episodes. Another thing that we have been really kind of consistent with, and I didn't want to announce it until we were consistent, is the Relearn Church Instagram account and the Ultimate Marriage Instagram account. I've been trying to make sure that we get something out there at least 2 times a week on those accounts. Just some inspiring content if you guys would like to follow those accounts. And if you want to follow Veronica and I, mine's just at Dale Partridge and Veronica's is at Veronica I Partridge. Mm-hmm. And we post out pretty regularly. Veronica's on stories most of the time. And I post something up at least once a week. The last thing I want to mention is if you guys would leave a review, if you're a regular listener to the show and you still haven't left a review, would you guys just go to iTunes and just tap the stars? You don't even need to write anything, though I do appreciate those that have written a review. We do read those. Thank you. And a review would really help the exposure of the show. We're at almost 3,000 reviews at this point, which is why so many people have been able to hear about the podcast on iTunes, because iTunes really takes those reviews seriously and pushes our show so more people can see it. On that note, let's open up and have the discussion about premarital sex.
Yeah, so the title of our show is Sex Before Marriage, Sinful or Acceptable? And we get this question quite often, either emailed or direct message to us, from couples who are Christian or dating, or Christian and dating, or from someone who has a friend with somebody that's Christian and dating and happens to be sleeping with their significant other. And I think a lot of Christians know that it is sinful, but have no idea how to defend the sexual purity or explain it when someone asks them about it. And it's our hope today as we share that we can help you understand the Bible's perspective and position on premarital sex so that you can help others align themselves with God's design for sexuality.
Yeah, and I think this is just a really practical show because I think it's a pretty common topic, even in the church, sadly. There's lots of people in the young adults groups that are sleeping around, and it's pretty serious business. So first thing I want to remind everyone is, one, if you're listening to the show and you are sleeping with your significant other, if you know somebody who's sleeping with their significant other and they're not married, this is kind of how I open up this conversation is to remind us that we are the beneficiaries of God's obedience, not God. We kind of confuse this often that somehow if we follow God's laws, it's like he's the beneficiary.
Like we're doing him a favor.
Yeah, that's not that. We're doing us a favor. That's really the truth. It's us who reap the reward of obedience, not God. And that's just kind of a preface for this conversation. And every time that we move out from under God's will or God's ways, life gets more confusing, more difficult, more painful. We see this all the time. People that are walking outside of God's ways, they just live a harder life. And if we think that it's difficult to be obedient to Scripture, like it's really difficult to control myself when I'm alone with my boyfriend or girlfriend, you think that's difficult? Well, I promise you that it's more difficult to indulge yourself with sexual relations and then break up. It's far more difficult. You know what's more difficult? Is indulge yourself in sexual relations and have to answer for that behavior in front of the Lord. That's far more difficult. And so this is a really important thing, is that we think that it's difficult to obey, but I promise you that it's more difficult to not obey on these teachings. And time again, history tells us that that is true. And I want to mention, just again as another preface, is that God is smarter than you and I. When we say that we're going to stand outside of God's boundaries for sexual design, we're really saying to God, I know more about me and this life and sex than you do, God. That's really what we're saying when we say, you know, I'm just going to do it my way, and I'm not going to do it your way. Ultimately, God is the inventor of sex, and because he invented it, he knows how to do it best in terms of how it should be done. He's given the boundaries about how sex should be executed. And again, probably a third preface, so I'm kind of just doing a few prefaces before the conversation here. Sex is a form of worship. I know you guys are thinking, well, worship, wait, I just think about my hands raised at church. Different function of worship here, but sex is a form of worship. Whatever we pursue is a form of worship. We don't pursue things that we don't worship. If we're pursuing comfort or success or money, you know, we're worshiping those things. And if I'm worshiping myself, I will use others and abuse others to gain pleasure. If I'm worshiping sex, I will deny God's boundaries and go wherever sexual pleasure leads me to. If I am worshiping God, I am going to seek out God's boundaries and his design, and I'm going to love people the way that God tells me to love them. And so we have to realize that sex, when we partake in premarital sex, it's because we're worshiping sex or we're worshiping pleasure and not worshiping God. God's boundaries are good and they protect us. And that's really the core message of this, is that they're good and they protect us. And we don't put fences around weeds. We put fences around gardens. We don't put trash inside of a safety deposit box. We put jewels and gold and precious items in there to protect them. And so the thing is, these boundaries are here to protect what is sacred and important to God and should be to us. And so just recognize it's not God going, oh, we're putting up these laws and these boundaries to ruin your life. No, it's because there's a protection of beauty there. Now, I often hear this question, God made me this way to love sex. Why would he make me this way and then tell me not to behave according to the way that he made me? And I'll let Veronica tackle this.
Yeah, so... yeah, I hear that question pretty frequently as well. And first, just because we feel a certain way doesn't mean that our feelings are valid, which might be a hard thing to hear.
It is a hard thing to hear.
It's sometimes hard for me to hear, too. Yeah. I want to know that my feelings are valid, but sometimes they're not. And second, I think Galatians 5, verses 17 through 25, reinforces the idea that our emotions are not to be trusted as the determiner of truth. So let's go ahead and read that passage, and then you'll understand why I'm saying that. Again, Galatians 5, verse 17 through 25. For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, did you guys hear that last part?
Yeah, that's a crazy... Yeah,
I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God.
And he talked about the first three things he mentions that are part of the flesh is...
Sexual
morality.
Impurity.
And sensuality.
And sensuality.
Right, so this is... Yeah, lusting in the heart, like, you know, having sexual fantasies.
Well, it's interesting. The next one, even after that, number four, is idolatry, which people that are stuck in this sexual bondage or sin or constantly craving it or partaking in it are making an idol out of it often.
Yes.
Not all of them, but
no,
often.
That's a great point. And, you know, what I think I want to point out for Veronica, what she's saying here is that for the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, means that he literally says, Paul says, and the desires of the spirit against the flesh, these two are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. You want to have sex? That's a desire of the flesh.
Mm. Not a desire of your spirit.
Not a desire of your spirit, if you're not married. Mm-hmm. And our emotions are a part of our flesh. We sometimes want to like make our emotions the spirit. And the way that we check if we don't know if it's our emotions or if it's the spirit, you check with the Word of God. And that'll determine the difference. Hey everyone, thanks for listening to this episode. We wanted to quickly tell you about our 6-week online marriage mentor program at our companion ministry, ultimatemarriage.com.
Yeah, Dale and I designed a powerful biblical curriculum with 6 themes, one for each week. Here's how it works. Every 7 days, Dale and I release a 45-minute video lesson on that week's theme, plus a weekly marriage challenge PDF for you and your spouse to incorporate those teachings directly into your marriage.
Yeah, it's an incredible program where we cover everything from sex and money to children and biblical roles. But more than that, it's also an incredible community. You'll have access to our private online group and the Ultimate Marriage text message line where Veronica and I can send our regular encouragements and wisdom straight to your phone. The catch is this. We try to limit the number of couples in the program at one time to assure a quality and intimate experience. So if you're interested in joining the program, enroll now at ultimatemarriage.com. Again, that's ultimatemarriage.com.
Yeah, so God takes sexuality very, very seriously. His word says that those who practice sexuality outside of his design will not inherit the kingdom of God, as I repeated in that scripture. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean that God hates sex. God actually loves sex. He designed it, and he created you and I to have those desires. Mm-hmm. So the desire for sex is not bad in itself. I like to think of it as a fire outside of a fireplace. Fire itself is not bad, but a fire outside of a fireplace is bad and dangerous.
Yeah, it's exactly. We got to confuse. I think so many people get married and they go, I've been told not to have sex, not to have sex, not to have sex, not to have sex. And then you get married and go, okay, now I can have sex. And so we got to make sure that sex is good. Mm-hmm. It's God's design. It's a good thing. Mm-hmm. There's just, because it's good, it's sacred, it's connected to God, there's a way to do that. And so the point we're trying to get across here is that God's blessings are only found within God's boundaries. You want God's blessing on your life? Then live within his boundaries for your life. And sexual holiness is God's will. That's, if you want, hey, thy will be done. Well, his will is sexual purity. He wants us to be separate and set apart from the culture in this way, who is looking at pornography, who is sleeping around before they are married. This is why so many people aren't getting married until their late 20s or 30s.
Yeah, there's no motivation to, because they can have everything they want without a commitment.
And it says that scary, scary verse. This letter is written to Christians, by the way. It's not a general letter. So remember that Paul's writing that letter in Galatians to Christians, and he tells Christians, I warned you as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, do, the other translation of that is practice, means that you're doing it like in a habitual manner, like you're getting better at it. You're getting better at hiding it. You're getting better at like coaching yourself why it's okay. Mm-hmm. You're justifying it. You're getting better at, you're an unrepentant habitual sinner. That should put you in a very scary position when you hear that scripture. So how can I say for sure that God's desire for you or his will is that you would abstain from sexual immorality? I'm going to read you 1 Thessalonians 4:3-8, which is a important verse for the church. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter of sexuality, because the Lord is an avenger in all things, all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you, for God has not called us to impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. These are just like the clearest scriptures on why you don't have sex before you're married. So why is premarital sex sinful? Because the only sexual activity that the Bible does not condemn or and actually permits is the sexual activity between a man and a woman inside the confines of a marriage. That is the only type of sex that is supported in Scripture and not condemned in Scripture. And so for what purpose? Like, why did God make sex? It's another important question. Why did God design it this way? There's three basic, there's probably many more purposes, but I'm going to give you just the three basic purposes of why God designed sex the way that he designed it. So the first is, sex has three purposes. So the first is the reproduction of God's image on the earth. That's number one. It's that God created us with the ability to create and to fill the earth with his image. He wants us to create children who know and love him. Number two, the strengthening of the marriage bond through intimate pleasure. And so it strengthens the marriage unity through sex. That's another purpose for marriage. The third is it's the physical representation of the spiritual pleasure that we're actually going to experience, us as the church, when we are perfectly united with Christ. So sex and even orgasm is really this idea of, it's a mirror. It's a physical mirror to a spiritual truth about what it's going to be like when we're completely unified with Christ as the church. Beautiful, beautiful stuff in deep marital theology there. But I just wanted you to catch that. It's not this like, I'm just going to go have sex to go feel good. That's not what it's about. And premarital sex departs from all three of those purposes. It's not for reproduction. Actually, in most cases, it's for prevention or pleasure only, and usually in many cases ends in abortion. It's not for the, premarital sex is not for the strengthening of a marriage bond, and premarital sex is not representing the pleasure that we're going to experience when God and his, or Jesus and his church are united as one. Sex outside of marriage is actually a lie about Jesus and the church. It's a lie about where real joy can be found. And so it's just, it's a big conversation. It seems small, but it's a big deal.
Yeah, so in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 18 through 20, Paul says, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is outside of the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." As a Christian, we don't get to decide what we want to do with our bodies.
Yeah.
God has purchased our body with his own blood. Because of this, we should glorify him with our bodies.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. That song goes on in our house.
I know. I kept almost reading it wrong because I haven't memorized the way the song sings it.
Yeah.
And it must be a different translation, but it's very similar.
We have a song that our daughter listens to that has
that scripture in it.
That scripture. Mm-hmm. And it's just reminding her that her body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And that we don't get to do what we want with our own bodies. We have to check with the Lord and the Lord's word on those matters. So mm-hmm. I think that point you made here is that, yeah, like God purchased your body with his blood, and you get eternal life because of that purchase. And then you're going to go and do exactly the opposite of what God commands you to do. it's like dragging the temple of God through the dirt. You know, it's like, it's just so incredibly disrespectful when you understand the temple and that our body represents the temple. It's to be used. What's the temple for? It's to honor God. It's to glorify God. It's to show God's power. And then you're just going and taking it into a sinful situation. So I'm going to give you guys a quick wrap up of what we talked about, just so you guys can have this as helpful information and maybe remember what we said so that you can reference this episode if you ever need to have a conversation with a friend or send this episode to somebody that might need to listen to it. And if you guys have that, again, you can do that at relearnchurch.org/listen. You could find this episode and just say, hey, brother or sister, heard this episode. You might want to take a listen. And hopefully, you know, this could be a tool of the Lord to bring correction to a situation like that. But I'm going to give you a quick wrap up, 5 points. Remember, one, we are the beneficiaries of God's commands, not God. Like, this is good for us, right? The rules of Scripture are here to help us, not hurt us. Mm-hmm. And you got to really get people to believe that. That's really important. The second thing is sex is actually a form of worship. Remember that whatever we pursue is what we worship. And, you know, are you worshiping pleasure by adhering to your own design for sex? Or are you worshiping God by adhering to his design for sex? Point number three is God takes sex and sexual immorality very seriously, and so should you. His word says that those who practice sexual immorality will not inherit the kingdom of God. Crazy. That should just, it should just scare, but a little bit of fear, like righteous fear in us when you hear that. And that the rest of that list, you got to look at the rest of that list. Number four, God's will for your life is sexual holiness, to be separate and different. Number five, premarital sex departs from God's three purposes for marriage or for sex, which are reproduction of his image, the strengthening of the marriage bond, and to mirror the utter pleasure that we will have when the church is unified with Christ in heaven. And so just critical understanding. Hopefully that was helpful and edifying for you guys. Again, a couple of reminders before we close out here. Any last points that you want to make?
No, I thought okay. Those were great. Yeah, you wrapped it up nicely.
So the show notes, again, relearnchurch.org/listen. You could find the show notes of this episode. Again, if you guys want to follow Relearn Church or Ultimate Marriage, which is our companion ministry that we help marriages, biblical marriages, you can follow that on Instagram as well. It's just at Relearn Church and at Ultimate Marriages. The Ultimate Marriage was taken. I don't know who has it. It's like an account that's like
been... If you have it, you can give it to us.
Yeah, please.
It's a donation.
And the last thing is a reminder to leave a review of the episode or of this podcast. We would appreciate that. On that note, thanks for listening, guys. And hopefully we will have you guys back next week for another episode of Real Christianity. Take care.
See ya.
Hey, Dale Partridge here. I recently heard a disturbing statistic. Only 11% of Christians have read the entire Bible. Now, we can't wonder why the church is being influenced by the culture more than the culture is being influenced by the church. The vast majority of Christians don't know God's word because they've never read it. We cannot live out what we do not understand. So Veronica and I want to challenge you right now to read the Bible in 1 year. We've put together a basic 365-day reading plan that'll take you no longer than 20 minutes per day, and you can download it for free at relearnchurch.org/Bible. Again, that's relearnchurch.org/Bible. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Real Christianity. Real Christianity is an audio ministry of relearnchurch.org. If you'd like more information on how to live out a biblical life, relearnchurch.org hosts a variety of articles, podcasts, sermons, and videos to support your journey. Real Christianity is 100% listener-supported ministry, and if you'd like to support our efforts, simply click the Donate tab at relearnchurch.org. You can also connect with both Veronica and I on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter for daily lessons and Bible teachings. Thank you for being with us today. We hope to see you next Wednesday for another episode of Real Christianity.